Epic Bacon, Bill Murray. I'm Scoot, and the good sir to my right? Pull that zipper.
Moi? A good sir? Oh, it gets me right in the feels, guys.
Let me start you off with the easiest question of all time. What is comedy?
Comedy is a series of finite references, and here's the best part, Bill Murray. The more you repeat them, the funnier they get.
I combed your website and found nary a Ron Swanson meme.
Okay, people don't want to see new things. They want to see screenshots of TV shows with yellow subtitles.
They want to see fake passive-aggressive notes written to neighbors who don't exist.
If you want to see epic content, check this out.
It's Britney, bitch.
And Iraq, everywhere like such as.
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Out, Charlie! Out!
Our next door neighbors are foreign countries.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, Epic Listeners, to Remember Shuffle. I'm Giordano. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ben. And we have another Type of Guy episode for you this week. We had so much fun doing hipsters that we thought we'd run it back with a different subculture. This time, the Epic Bacon Reddit guy, the primordial users of what is now the world's fifth most popular website. And we have returning guest Kyle with us, who you may remember from the 2008 election episode. Everyone's favorite episode.
Kyle, I don't know if you could tell, but Giordano literally fried up bacon as our snack.
Did you light us that shit up? You weave a basket?
We did not weave any bacon strips. Okay, actually, I want to read a little thing. My roommates sent me an attempt at viral fame ended in tragedy Monday when a 22-year-old social media intern took his love of internet humor too far. Oh. Joshua Flaherty of New Brunswick, New Jersey, passed away at Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital late Monday night due to sepsis following the rectal insertion of precisely 10 pounds of Hickory smoked bacon.
He boofed it?
I blame Reddit, stated Sheila, childhood friend and next-door neighbor of the Flahertys. Every time someone posts something with bacon on it, people act like it's the greatest thing, like they've never seen obscene amounts of bacon before.
So is this real?
No, it is not. We might not even use that because it's lifting someone else's satire, but it did make me laugh aloud. Like any good satire, it is real enough that you kind of do need to squint to be like, maybe I could see that
at the place and time.
There have been people who have posted themselves to death. That's If It Bleeds, It Leads story for Fox. If it's about Hillary Clinton or a social media influencer who dies trying to influence, it goes straight to the front page.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine if Hillary Clinton died doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. The bucket just falls on her head.
Yeah, she's just heard about it. I'm doing the Ice Bucket Challenge.
I am fun.
She dies of pneumonia. Her body did not have the capacity to stay warm for the 15 seconds it took for her team to dry her off.
I'm doing the Ice Bucket Challenge, and I'm challenging Alan Dershowitz, Chris Rock, and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh my God, Tucker Carlson would legitimately have a hemorrhagic stroke from just hearing about this.
All right, let's get down to the show. A few weeks ago, there was a tweet that went around from the official NATO account, the largest military alliance on Earth, tweeted out, Ukraine is hosting one of the great epics of this century. Quote, we are Harry Potter and William Wallace, the Na'vi and Han Solo. We're escaping from Shawshank and blowing up the Death Star. We are fighting with the Harkonnens and challenging Thanos.
Yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation.
Okay, this is epic.
The most epic tweet of all time.
They literally call this war that has killed hundreds of thousands of people epic. There's no electricity in most of Ukraine anymore. And they're like, Han Solo much?
Yeah, that's a tweet that you read drinking your black coffee with your chest hair bursting out of your flannel.
You've heard the end of the Winston Churchill, we'll fight him on the beaches and in the skies, right? I think it ends with, they are the Ebenezer Scrooge to our Tiny Tim.
Who's the guy who ties damsels to railroad tracks?
Is that only one guy?
For sure.
I guess I assume there was like a bit of an epidemic of that back in... Ye old railroad times.
First off, his name is Snidely Whiplash.
Oh, yeah.
We'll fight them on the beaches. These Snidely Whiplashes. Eugenics has gotten a bad rap. But I really hope that whoever posted that has their genes taken out of the gene pool. Parody, satire. I don't mean that. Remember Shuffle Pod's official stance is we are opposed to involuntary sterilization. So it is the second entry in our Type of Guy series. A few weeks ago, we posted an episode on the hipster as this countercultural figure of the Y2K decade. And we did a poll on our YouTube and people really wanted to hear an episode on a different type of guy. The Epic Bacon Reddit Man, which is what we're calling it as a convenient shorthand. Much like the hipster, I don't think anyone was actually calling themselves an Epic Bacon Reddit Man, but it is definitely a phenomenon that existed, a non-mainstream culture that existed predominantly on the internet. And because it existed predominantly on the internet, this is a much tougher one to define or get a handle on because it only existed in this space. You can all imagine a hipster drinking a craft beer and going to a show where there's seven people playing the washboard or whatever the fuck. But this is a type of posters, the Epic Bacon posters, who maybe in real life they were mainstream normies with white collar jobs who like to go and post on Reddit. Maybe they were insane basement dweller libertarians. It is very hard to tell. But online, they were lords. Milords, even. We talked on our hipster episodes about how important the internet was for hipster culture in terms of Vice News or music blogs like Sound Machine, Giordano. But hipster culture, at least it did exist in real life in the form of shows or art that they consumed and made. Brick and mortar stuff.
Hey, you'd see them on the street. They existed in the proverbial meat space. But we're talking about a subculture that only existed online and was anonymous, which makes it so much harder to define and research and recognize. So I think this episode is going to be something very novel on our part. There's not a whole lot out there written on the Epic Bacon guy or their ideology or the way that they thought about the world and what happened to them. So that's what we're going to get into in this episode. You can probably name a couple examples of this internet guy, but we're going to try in this episode to tie all of the loose threads that exist together into like a communal ideology that they shared.
Yeah, define this nebulous culture. And to do this, we are joined today by none other than Kyle, one of our all-time returning guests, a guy who actually pitched this topic. And his claim to expertise here is that he went to a Reddit meetup in the late 2000s, early 2010s, if I'm not mistaken. Kyle, what was that like?
Well, have you ever seen a naked mole rat?
Kyle, coming in hot, bullying people.
It was at a bar in Montreal, and mostly, honestly, what I remember, I think this would have been 2009 or 10, was the palpable awkwardness of this group of white males. Surprise, surprise. I'm a reasonably socially adept person, and I think that was probably too much for maybe some of them, in that this is a group of people, I quickly surmise, not used to interacting in the meat space. I'm trying to remember if there were any real fedoras, but I think it was more symbolic fedoras about. But it was definitely a big geek culture thing. And I think that's what was the striking thing, is this was the Craigslist hookup equivalent of geek seeking geek, at least at that time in Reddit's history.
Do you remember if there was a specific subreddit that had organized this meetup?
Yeah, it was on our Montreal. So it was within the local Montreal one. Yeah, someone just pitches, get together. And I think there was six or seven of us. And like I said, it was fine, but it was not the easiest to get a conversation going, I'll say, with this particular group of guys.
One thing we noticed when researching this is that there are two parallel things that are happening at the same time. You have the development of this Epic Bacon poster culture on Reddit, but the parallel phenomenon that has no causal link to the first is that more and more people are becoming more and more online. People are becoming posters. More and more people are developing more of an online persona, blah, 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 blah. So I think that socially awkward Reddit guy that you met in the 2000s, that's been scaled up as more and more people have spent more and more time online.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the theses that we're moving towards, is that as we become more online, we all become posters and we all become a little bit more socially maladjusted and touch less grass over the last 10 years.
Yeah. We've all become naked mole rats in the last 10 years.
We're all the bug man. We're all living in our pods, eating the bugs.
I've never been to a Reddit meetup, by the way. I've only considered it a few times because the Red Scare subreddit has meetups. I've always been like, I gotta go and meet a BPD art ho, and then I always chicken out.
Yeah, no, I think if I went to a Red Scare meetup, I would just be bullied.
Oh, I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, you would leave with a literal wedgie.
Yeah. Well, I would leave with an eating disorder.
Yeah, no, I would leave with the worst case of body dysmorphia.
Yeah, it's interesting. At that particular time, Reddit meetups, anywhere you would have gone, probably would have been about the same, which speaks, I think, to how much things have changed since 2009-2010, in that at the time, Reddit was 20-something geeky tech guys. Mm-hmm. And that was basically the entire user base. And so it is super interesting to think of how much it has shifted since then. Yeah, I would say there's a much more boutique flavor to the meetups now.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, it's the sixth most visited website in the United States. It's impossible to be both esoteric and be used by 1.5 billion people.
And I think in some months or some years, it's as high as the third most visited site on the internet in America.
Maybe on May the 4th or something.
Yeah.
Because we've all become so online, this is part of what makes this such an interesting case study and worth digging down into the ideology and the culture of some of the world's most annoying posters. But before we really get going, a couple of caveats about what we are not going to be talking about. We are a pop culture podcast, so we are talking about culture. We are not going to be talking about issues of free speech, which are fucking boring, the philosophy of what should or should not be allowed to be said online, by whom, in what way, and how should it be moderated, or are we going to be talking about this thing called net neutrality?
Boring.
Yeah. Also, I don't think we have it anymore. I think we quietly lost the neutral net sometime 10 years ago, so I know there's a bunch of legal and philosophical issues wrapped up in Reddit, but yeah, we're a pop culture pod. We will be talking about culture. Culture in scare quotes.
We are going to spend the last 20 minutes, though, discussing in depth why TikTok should be banned here and abroad.
TikTok should be banned because it makes me feel fucking old. That's why it should be banned.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an app that gives me body dysmorphia, for sure. Yeah.
That's an app that's giving everyone body dysmorphia.
Heads up. And Tourette's syndrome, apparently. Jordan talked about weaving together the strands of the Epic Bacon Reddit Man poster. What are those strands? If the consumption patterns of the hipster were flannel, vinyl, craft beers, and the like, what does the Epic Bacon Man like to post about? Like the name says, fucking bacon. He likes bacon a lot. He likes bacon products. He is a participant of the bacon media of the aughts and early 2010s. He likes bacon almost as much as he hates pumpkin spice. He likes things that are epic. And epic things are usually things that are masculine coded, but specifically a weird archaic masculinity. He thinks eating bacon and wearing the fedora makes him Don Draper or Ron Swanson. And we're going to unpack all these in full. This is just my little tease. He likes Reddit and he loves the site's stupid inside jokes. No matter what year you joined Reddit, I promise people were complaining about how the site was ruined at the moment that you joined. And they were reposting complaints about reposts. Insanely self-referential and inside jokey. He probably does not like organized religion. Reddit is still the host to the world's largest online atheism forum. So you can kind of think of your debate bro, facts and logic. You believe in a sky zombie? Pushes up glasses. The kind of thing that made Bill Maher popular and now makes him insanely annoying. And most of all, the thing that unites all of this stuff is that he loves posting more than anything else. He loves getting karma for his posts about how great some new bacon abomination is, or how epic Sean Connery is for saying sometimes you have to slap a woman, or how religion can be debunked with facts and logic. The Epic Bacon Reddit guy is first and foremost a poster. He is a posting conquistador. He was a poster before everyone you knew, from the boomers to corporate brands, were posters.
I think the only thing I can add to that, what we're really talking about is like a few different Venn diagrams of guys that heavily overlap that you could all find on Reddit. And the thing that I think for me unifies it the most, especially back in the early days, the late aughts, is pedantry. Mm-hmm. I think is the defining Redditor characteristic. They fucking love being pedantic. They mm-hmm. love it. Correcting grammar, mm-hmm. long-winded,
well, actually.
Verbose posting. Yeah, well, actually. All this kind of shit. When I think what sums up the Redditor, it's that attitude. And it all ties into the tipping your fedora and all that shit. But I think, yeah, pedantry is the defining Redditor characteristic.
Yes.
Yeah, and then just to add one more quality that we're going to get into later that I think is important. They are very into nostalgia, mm-hmm. like the hipster, and just general infantilization. It does seem like a lot of them really enjoy sort of cosplaying as children or animals.
Yeah.
And or getting advice from them. I don't know what it is. These guys fucking love getting advice from animals.
This was before Jordan Peterson was giving the terminally online white man advice. You got it from a photo of a penguin.
Or from a good guy, Steve.
No, Steve was a scumbag. Greg was a good guy.
Right.
Dude, good guy Greg.
Oh, no, I've taken all my life advice from scumbag Steve.
Well, actually.
Okay, let's do a very quick power blitz through the short history of Reddit. And the reason that we can do this is because it has the same story as every stupid tech startup you've ever heard of. I got a book from the library to study for this called We Are the Nerds. And it's just a biography of the three or four guys, Alexis Ohanian, Steve Huffman, Schwartz, the one who committed suicide, and the fourth one, the real Ringo of the crew. And it's the same story. They met in a dorm room in college. They went to Y Combinator, the startup. They have a site that has a lot of users but makes zero revenue that gets bought out for $10 million.
Yeah, it actually got bought by Condé Nast fairly early in its life cycle. I thought that was a recent thing because I know a lot of Redditors complain about that.
Mm-hmm.
That happened in like 2009 or something.
Within a year of them making the thing. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Reddit is that it is user-generated and user-moderated content. There was no editorial board. It was just crowdsourced, voting up posts that you want to see, voting down posts and comments that you don't. And that was its innovation, such as it was, because this meant that it was stuff that people wanted to see. This is before people were talking about the algorithm. The first four subreddits, which are the pages on Reddit, were called Politics, New, Programming, and Not Safe for Work. So it was a mix of programmers talking about programming shit and pornography.
There's a lot of boards that function in similar ways, like 4chan. It is also anonymous and unregulated, but it has to regulate itself as it becomes more successful, because you can't be a website that 1.5 billion people visit and have subreddits like r jailbait. And so they have to start banning some of the most insidious subreddits. Subreddits like r jailbait, subreddits like beating women, horrible subreddits like Chapo Trap House.
R fat people hate.
Yeah. So it has to prune itself in a way that 4chan, I guess, never did.
And what's funny is that they really do want to have their cake and eat it too, get up to the line. So written into the algorithm is if comments get downvoted a lot, then they automatically become hidden, which was a good innovation because most sites back then would just post their comments chronologically. And there's always going to be some absolute psycho who's going to go on a local news story and post an insane manifesto screed. But Reddit let all that shit be hidden. And so it was only the comments that were most relevant that people wanted to see. But there was a loophole. If you had less than negative 100 karma on your comment, if it was that epically bad, then it would show. And yeah, this might all be superfluous and end up getting cut because this is a pretty normal mainstream social media site now. Reddit has more than 1.5 billion registered users, about half of Facebook's 2.9 billion, and way more than Twitter's 330 million. So of course now, any edge that it might have had is totally gone.
In terms of Reddit history, like, it's interesting to think back of how different the internet was at that time in the mid-2000s. At this point, basically three websites have taken over everything. Reddit and Facebook and, I don't know, are there other websites? Anyway, I don't know. Wikipedia, I guess, is still there.
Yeah.
But back in the mid-2000s and earlier, the internet was just full of random shit. And it was all people making their own sites and hosting their own sites on really niche stuff. I don't know if you guys remember what it used to be like. If you wanted to research something, you could pick the most obscure thing. And some guy in Delaware had spent countless hours putting together like a GeoCities page dedicated to going through it all. And all the information you would actually want, you could find. And so Reddit, when it first came out, basically what its main function would have been is it calls itself the front page of the internet. So the whole idea was, instead of having to go to these different places and find these little niche things, let's find a place that it all gets gathered up in.
Mm-hmm.
And then like all things like that, and the initial early adopters were people who were already pretty well versed in the internet and tech stuff in general, who would have known how to find it and would have known where to get interesting content and bring it all together. And it's interesting to think back that that was the original purpose for it. And then now we've gotten to this place where the internet is so monopolized by like a few different things, including Reddit, ironically. And Reddit increasingly has become, as you said, like a self-referential thing that produces its own content that it passes back and forth amongst itself and stuff. None of that shit exists anymore. similar way.
Yeah, one of the things that we noticed researching is that Reddit really didn't innovate all that much. There were all these other aggregator websites that they lifted ideas from. Like there was Dig and Off Topic and, of course, 4chan, which is truly the Mos Eisley spaceport of the internet. Never before has there been a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yeah, they were trying to come up with the list of memes that Reddit had created itself, and they couldn't think of anything. Like, everything they liked, like Bacon or Narwhal, was from like an IGN forum.
The Rage comics were from 4chan.
Right. It was all from other websites.
Chuck Norris was a real guy.
It's just aggregating. And yeah, that's a really good point, Kyle. In 2006 or something, if I want to talk to a bunch of Harry Potter fans, I go to the Pottermore chat rooms and I only talk about that. And now I'm sure that all of those subjects just get their own subreddit and you talk to them there.
Yeah, there's a guy who was in the news recently about the Silicon Valley bank run. He has a horrible last name. It's like Calacanis or Calacanis. I don't know how to pronounce it, but TrueAnon was ripping into him.
Probably, you probably nailed it.
Yeah. But this guy, who's apparently been around Silicon Valley venture tech shit for forever, had the idea in like 2006 of finding the best posters on Reddit with the most karma and paying them $1,000 a month. Before we were talking about influencers, this guy had the idea of paying goddamn Redditors to post, and people laughed at him. This did not end up happening.
One of the things that is famous in its origins is that, you know, it had existed for a few years, and then this rival site, Dig, which I am ashamed to say that I was on in like 2009,
nice,
collapsed basically and lost its whole user base. And they all migrated to Reddit at basically the same time. And that's really when Reddit took off, because it just inherited another website's user base. And part of the reason people left that site was because of, yeah, these super users and these controversies that like a few people were able to promote things to the top of the algorithm and would be paid to do that and whatever. So the idea was Reddit really promoted itself as, no, this is equal. Mm-hmm. Everyone gets one up or down vote.
One man, one up vote was the rallying cry. And yeah, that's not man in the human sense. That's man. So that's what we're dealing with. That's the site. With all that preamble aside, let's get on to our epic bacon Reddit guy. The average Reddit user in the second half of the Y2K decade are male, college age, and a nerd before all of culture was quote unquote nerdy. Back when, if you engage in nerd culture, it meant you were playing Dungeons and Dragons. It didn't mean I'm a big fan of the three movies a year that come out by one of the largest corporations on earth. I'm a little bit of a geek.
And when I think back to the meetup and maybe why I just wasn't able to like connect with this group of dudes, when I look back, I don't know why I was on Reddit at the time. It was just an interesting place where I think I just liked getting internet points, honestly. And I will in no way, shape, or form share my Reddit username, which I still have. But when I look back on the very cringy posts from this era, it's just annoying shit about like science. And
would you say at the time, Kyle, that you fucking loved science?
I think that I would have. It makes me want to
redacted.
But I think that's what was so interesting is when I met people in real life, I was like, oh, you guys are a different kind of nerd. I like science. You guys are nerds. Yeah, I don't say it in like a bad, or, like there's no negative connotation when I say this, but like they were nerds.
Just a bunch of absolute millhouses out here.
I mean, in Martin Prince's or something. I don't say it with a negative connotation. I almost say it admirably. Because I don't like to gatekeep, but maybe nerd is something that we either need to gatekeep or have a separate word for. Mm-hmm. Because there is a difference now between someone who's seen the Thanos movie and someone who's a pedant about the different types of railgun in the 40K universe.
Giordano and I in high school played Axis and Allies with period hats. You saw a Marvel movie. We are not the same.
I wonder if for them, they knew, fuck, this is the moment. The neighborhood's going to shit.
Yes.
If me showing up to this meetup in 2010 was the moment these guys knew that their perfect nerd culture environment was just fucking gentrified by guys like me showing up being like, well, I like science, so that's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, Kyle, you're a pretty good looking guy. Someone in that crowd wanted to throw acid in your face.
Yeah, I feel bad now. thinking backs of
you
spoiling,
invaded their spaces. You were taking up space. You have to have this little chin to enter the Reddit. All right, let's move on to the next section, which I think will be the most fun, which is to break down the ideology of the epic bacon person and really talk about what made them get up in the morning. How did they see the world? Why bacon? Why this salty pork belly meat? What drew them to this so much that it defined their ideology? What is it about bacon that was worth incorporating into your sense of self?
So let's start with the history of bacon. In the 80s and 90s, people stopped eating it, actually. There was a very effective campaign from the sugar lobby that said that fat was the problem. That's why we were all gaining weight, not sugar.
And pork futures collapsed in the 80s and 90s because everybody was avoiding bacon. And we actually bred pigs to only have muscular loins so that they could be the other white meat and sort of have like a chicken type amount of fat to them. And in the 2000s, bacon started to be picking up in price. And actually, the price of pork belly skyrocketed in the 2000s as everybody became bacon obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this all started with an ad campaign, right? A totally astroturfed fucking ad campaign where, yeah, in the 1980s, people weren't buying the fatty cuts of pork because fat was bad. So how did they get that? They did it through advertising through fast food restaurants. And they really tried to hammer home an association between manliness and meat. One of the first fast food places to do this was Hardee's. They had a big iconic ad about having bacon on their hamburger. By eating bacon, it is both indulgent and decadent, but most of all, they have this sense in the advertising that eating bacon is transgressive. Society doesn't want you to eat bacon. All these fucking dorks and women and doctors are trying to tell you that it is as carcinogenic as cigarettes. So you, as an epically manly man, are going to make bacon your whole ass thing.
Yeah, this was your James Dean smoking a cigarette, as you kept a pack of bacon rolled up in your sleeve. You eating bacon was like Don Draper smoking a cigarette.
And there were posts about, and there would be quote unquote jokes, and it would be stuff like this. I found some examples. Bacon causes cancer? Well, I'm going to try to eat it so no one else has to suffer. Not all heroes wear capes. Or devastating that scientists say bacon causes cancer, and we face the fact that we'll have to give up science.
I know a theme that we're going to be talking about is how, for some reason, something about this particular time on the internet and this place on the internet is now so cringe, but it is so fucking cringy to hear this shit. Oh, God.
Yeah, and this posting phenomenon had real world consequences. There was a huge explosion in bacon flavored products, like bacon bits in your mayonnaise. There was bacon flavored lip balm. There was an advertising campaign at Taco Bell that was about hot women saying men love bacon or whatever. Bacon flavored perfume. Shtick, joke, gag products that were all centered around fucking bacon.
They made a bacon-flavored lube.
Do you guys remember this period?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're like doing a podcast on it, Kyle.
It's called Remember Shuffle.
Sorry. I mean, do you actually remember what it was like when this shit started happening?
Yeah.
I think the moment for me where I was like, what the fuck is going on here is, it would have been like 2009 or 10, and going home and going to the Chapters and walking in and seeing all this bacon flavored mayonnaise and stuff. And I remember this was the moment that I was just like, we've gone too far. Something is amiss here that I'm at my bookstore and I'm being sold bacon flavored lube. I don't know where our culture went astray. But it was before today.
And that was the moment Kyle became a trad cast statue avy guy.
Richard Verne.
But yeah, it's tied up in masculinity, which we'll discuss in a second. It's a little bit tied up in atheism, too, I think. And every fast food restaurant suddenly had like a Baconator from Wendy's. With
6 strips of bacon on the Baconator.
I'll put a picture of the Baconator, what it looked like in real life, in the show notes, because it looks repulsive. It looks like such a piece of shit sandwich, but the name is so epic. It's like the Terminator, but with bacon.
It does get across the point that this will kill you.
giving yourself colorectal cancer to own the libs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, look no further at every stupid right-wing consume blank to own the libs thing. Remember when everyone was buying hundreds of dollars of Goya beans, the anti-immigrant Mexican bean company? Hey man, at least beans are good for you. At least that's fiber. It might help to undo some of the bacon right. damage to your colon. But yeah, this idea of you can do subversion through your consumption and also through your posting about your subversive consumption is very alive and well.
Wonder how much of it was the Islamophobia of the time. Wasn't there like shit about soldiers dipping bullets in bacon fat? Just horrific. And so for me, yeah, it is very much the proto example of Black Rifle Coffee of its time. Can you guys think of something like that that predates it? Like, is there something from the 90s you guys can think of where consumption is this political statement?
Well, smoking is like the only thing I can think of. And this is, again, because they're man children, the version of subversion they're doing is so infantile. It's like eating an extra helping of bacon. It's mm-hmm. it's like something you would do to piss off your mom.
So these guys who think that their bacon love is somehow subversive, somehow a middle finger to society, are just cucks for consumerism, man. They bought into the ad campaign. Yeah, these guys think they're fucking subversive, but they're just subs. Let's talk real quickly about the Epic Mealtime guys who rode this into a career. These were some guys in Montreal who would make just repulsively over-the-top food that featured bacon, and they would talk in an epic way, bacon strips and bacon strips and bacon strips.
I watched Epic Mealtime for the first time ever last night, and wow, does it suck. None of the food looks very appealing. It's just done to post, because you're just doing it for internet points, and they're all random. The guy wears the aviator sunglasses while
Muscles
he
glasses.
Eats. Muscles glasses. That's his name. They have the counters at the bottom of the screen for the amount of calories and fat. Yeah,
grams of fat. Yeah.
By the way, thanks, Quebec.
Yeah, this is actually one of my degrees of separation with a quote-unquote celebrity. Someone I lived with in Montreal went to high school with the Epic Mealtime guys.
the worst celebrity name drop of all time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have that, but with Grimes, but you got me beat.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, Elon Musk is definitely an epic bacon guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's one of the remarkable things about him. He just walked right out of 2008. He's, that man has lost time. I don't know.
I'll put that in the show notes, too. But he also did tweet about bacon recently. Yeah, the epic bacon tweet.
Yeah. Look no further than an epic fucking Redditor guy. Mm-hmm. He is the most acronistic internet figure ever. He's just this guy who is exactly what everyone used to be like in 2008, 2009. And it's so fucking cringy now.
Yeah, and if you think about the things that were on Reddit in 2008, programming, science, not safe for work, fat people hate, you know, jail baits, you know, whatever. I'm sure Elon Musk was into all that stuff.
Our emerald mine.
Our breeding.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. I'm still distracted by the fact that we only just realized that Elon Musk is the perfect example of this guy. I feel like we could have built a whole fucking bit around Elon Musk as Reddit.
Oh, absolutely. We can keep going on that. I mean, he epicked his way into losing $44 billion this year. Someone was teasing him. He's like, well, what if I bought the website? That just resulted in the single fastest loss of wealth of all time.
I think we all remember the post where he walked into Twitter's headquarters after the deal carrying a porcelain sink so that he could write, I'm in the building. Let that sink in. Bad, mediocre pun wordplay and posting altogether. Imagine being the fucking intern who is tasked with going to Home Hardware and buying a sink for Elon Musk to carry into the building.
One of the academic papers that we came across as part of the Reddit research. So this very well-intentioned digital communications undergrad wrote an entire senior thesis on the use of humor in Reddit up until 2014. And he breaks down the main styles of humor, and puns is one of the main ways of communicating humor. Puns and basically low-key grammar Nazism. But again, and the fucking sink thing is such a 2010 ass internet pun fucking thing. It's just remarkable.
I bet you they didn't even throw out the sink. They're going to hold on to it. They're going to wait 5 years, and then they're going to post a photo of the sink in Twitter headquarters and be like, hey, you guys remember when Elon brought the sink in? Get in on that nostalgia, circle jerky, self-referential humor aspect.
Nah, my money's on he killed an intern with me.
The trolling nature of Elon Musk fits in with the Reddit trollness. Remember when he tweeted that he was stuck in traffic, so he was going to start The Boring Company, whose name is already sort of a troll? He's like, I'm going to buy a digger and just start digging. And then he started a company that's been like 15 years, and I don't think that company has done anything.
Well, didn't he do that one little stretch?
It was supposed to be some stupid Hyperloop thing. He has gone on the record that said he promoted the idea of a Hyperloop so that he could kill public transit initiatives in California, like California high-speed rail or electrifying the Caltrain. Like he was trying to kill programs to make public transit better by essentially just saying my imaginary train in my boring company tunnels would be faster.
The more I think about it, so Elon Musk typifies the Redditor in so many ways. Some of the Venn diagram with the hipsterdom and the Redditor, just as far as that masculine, how to differentiate them. And I think the main thing about the Redditor is the difference between the IRL persona and the online persona. And the online persona is all about epic bacon and pedantry and intellectualism and the m'lady and all of this. But again, then you meet them in real life and you're like, oh, my dude, get on Queer Eye or something. And it's specifically that mismatch between the persona and the real life. Who exemplifies that more than Elon? Is like guy who online thinks he's the coolest guy in the room, but he's so fucking cringe. Like he really has that dialectic exists within him.
And he's obsessed with posting, yep. Right? No CEO is as obsessed with posting as Elon Musk, and is so obsessed with it that he felt the need to buy the platform so that he could promote his own posts. One of the first things he complained about when he bought Twitter was that he, for some reason, felt the need to be like, I can't find my posts anywhere, and they have this many views. And then meanwhile, these other people, their posts have more views than mine. And he's complaining that his posts didn't have more impressions, which is just such a low-key
move. Yeah, he's obsessed with magic internet points.
Yeah.
Meaningless fucking internet points. He's genuinely obsessed with them.
The second richest man on earth is losing the internet posting game. So pathetic. Now we can transition to some other elements of the Reddit quote-unquote humor outside of bacon posts, but we have stuff like lolcats. There was a subreddit for lolcats, so it's literally baby talk. I can has cheeseburger with the photo of the cat. You would have companies advertising programmer jobs as quote software ninjas. Think about stuff that a six-year-old would like, and you can probably find some relevant comparisons. Posting things like ooh, right in the childhood on nostalgic posts about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And yeah, looking forward, look at the fucking internet Nazis, Pepe the Frogs, right? They talk about their friends. That's how they talk. This weird juvenile baby talk style. And I have an example of this juvenile style of humor. This is one of the all-time best posts on Reddit. Admittedly from 2017, outside our purview, but the OP post is, you can have sex with one real person from all of human history. Who is your ultimate lay? Okay, sure, yeah, like a high school style question. First response, I'd like to have sex one more time with my wife who passed away from cancer 9 years ago. My body yearns for hers. The ultimate downside to finding, quote, the one, quote, is she may die young and leave you wanting. First response, I also choose this guy's dead wife. Then the chain devolved into necromancy and necrophilia jokes, and then immediately got to how a shortened form of necromancer can sound like the N-word. Top posts of all time.
One more example of this infantilization bleeding its way into regular society is Reddit's love to infantilize themselves and speak like animals. Like I can has cheeseburger or speak like a doge, which is their way of saying dog, right? And so we got a meme coin named Dogecoin, which was a cryptocurrency.
Diamond hands to the moon?
Yeah, which was a joke, right? The idea behind this cryptocurrency is that it is a joke. It is not meant to actually be used as a medium of exchange. It's a meme. And it was worth at its height.
It's actually a hedge against inflation.
It was worth at its height $90 billion, which means nothing, right? That's just a number. Like, oh yeah, that seems like a lot, I guess. But just for comparison, if you wanted to purchase the entire auto manufacturing company of General Motors or Ford, that would cost you $50 billion. So
the economy is good and makes sense. It's not all speculation. Yeah, okay. Let's move on from their style of humor and the bacon to gender politics, masculinity, toxic masculinity, or fragile masculinity of the Redditor.
I'm really excited for this portion because I think that the Reddit guy, it's a very similar thing to the hipster, the Reddit guy, because they're both obsessed with a older type of masculinity, a bygone figure, a man. But the hipster is obsessed with the lumberjack, right? Or the mechanic, something from like 30 or 40 years ago. Whereas the Redditor is obsessed with a form of masculinity from like 500 years ago, with being a knight or a samurai or a pirate.
Yes, there is an official Talk Like a Pirate Day, which was very popular on Reddit among the Redditors. If you participate in Talk Like a Pirate Day, you should be fired from your job. You should be canceled and fired. I don't care if you're customer facing or not. If you have an email job or if you have a real job that society needs, no matter what, if you show up to work one day like, "Arr, matey," fired. You're gone.
Or yeah, if you're going to talk like a knight, for example, this is where the Redditor famous speech pattern where you're like, "Take my upvote, good sir. Doth my lady wish for a piece of the kitty croissant?"
A fine post, le sir. Yes. You can notice that it's the mix of the juvenile, backward-looking nostalgia in that you're still talking like a fucking baby, but mixed with Ren Faire shit.
Yeah. I think it just comes down to they just don't know how to talk to people. And so they're resorting to a speech pattern they've seen in like a movie or a book, especially when it comes to talking to women, which is why they're calling them m'lady.
Yes, which again, just like another way of the difference in the specifics of the behind the keyboard persona versus their real life stuff, because behind the keyboard, they're all white knights of, "Yes, m'lady, doth I tip my fedora to you, m'lady, and wouldst thou kindly accept my pittance of an upvote for your splendid post?" and all of that kind of shit. And you know that 99% of these guys posting like that are monsters to women in real life if they were given the opportunity to be so. Mm-hmm. The classic Reddit meme of the gentleman tipping his fedora, which that meme came about as Reddit making fun of its own people and just recognizing these fucking cringy guys who are actually super annoying and misogynist. They perceive that they've been dun-dun-dun friend-zoned, perhaps. The I think friend-zoning has, for these people, the exact same emotional salience as divorce court and custody or child payments. But for the people who don't actually ever enter real relationships and thus never have children, that's their equivalent, is the friend zone, is this thing to rail against and get really mad about.
I had received a friend zone designation from my local magistrate.
I have to go around and knock on all my neighbors' doors and tell them I'm from the friend zone. These are the guys at the point in time we're talking about, like the mid to late aughts, these same white knight guys who are going to go on to become the more monstrous, outwardly terrible guys online. This is just their kind of early heyday where they're still cosplaying as gentlemen and cosplaying as wizened intellectuals who pursue reason and logic above all else. But 5 years down the road, they're all going to be fucking railing against Gamergate.
That's what I think an important point. And this is something that the Vox article about these types of guys, which is one of the only things out there about the epic bacon Redditors, is that it was like a very optimistic time online. These people seem to generally be nice to each other and cordial and kind. And then I think that as time goes on, it just goes bad for people who are terminally online.
It's bad for your brain, folks.
We get a few shooters from this group, unfortunately.
The van attack in Toronto.
Yeah, a lot of incel posters.
Circling back to the fedora, away from domestic terrorism. I don't know if it's a rich vein for our pop culture comedy podcast. There's a type of post that I remember distinctly where it's a photo of some golden age of Hollywood motherfucker, handsome man, three-piece suit, fedora, and then someone dressed casually now. Maybe it's someone whose pants are hanging low. Maybe it's someone with shredded jeans. It has some variation on the caption, "When did this become less attractive than this?" And so the funniest thing about the fedora is you're putting in the bare minimum effort to call back the 1940s masculinity. You're not dressing in a whole three-piece suit like Humphrey Bogart or Rock Hudson. Rock Hudson, famously gay, but I don't think they realized it when they posted him in the photos. You're just putting the fedora and you're still wearing like an anime t-shirt. And you're like, why didn't it work?
You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So somehow it doesn't pair with a Cowboy Bebop t-shirt and a trench coat in quite the same way.
The fedora, the only part of the outfit that doesn't have to be fitted or washed.
Yeah, my hot take is the only fedora guys I respect, full-on ska guys. I'm talking chain wallets, checkered pants or jacket, guys who skank and say, those guys rock. I don't think they do too much harassing of women because being a ska guy is the best birth control there is.
Just go all the way, Redditors, and become a zoot suit guy.
Yes! Oh my god. Yeah, learn to fucking swing dance, man. Stop posting. Just extend down from the fedora.
Yeah, you can't put a baseball cap on and be like, why did the Yankees draft me this year? What's going on? Like, you have to do more than the hat.
Yeah, the only thing that you want to do is the consumption part, the easiest parts, right? You want to be Ron Swanson because he's epic, but you don't actually want to learn carpentry because that's difficult.
You might cut yourself.
It requires calluses. But it is easy to just buy bacon.
I think for the most part, like Kyle said, the gender politics are at this phase quite understated. And if you will allow me one academic word, paraphrastic, in that they talk around the thing that they want to say. And they talk around it through epic bacon posting. Whereas nowadays, you're going to have online Ben Shapiro types saying things like, Harry Styles wearing a dress is an attack on masculinity. If one fucking guy wearing a dress is an existential attack on masculinity. Masculinity is fucking not worth saving.
Thank God he's made the paraphrastic frastic.
Yeah, or Tucker Carlson, you know, they trans the green M&Ms and they can no longer get it.
Oh my god. Okay, speaking of transing the M&Ms, did you guys see the Carl's Jr. ad about bacon? Okay, it's completely unhinged. It's just Mystique from the X-Men transforming into a burly, huge, muscular man before taking a bite of a giant cheeseburger. And it's just like, what? Like, if this ad ran now, what would people do? I think this ad, it was insane at the time. I think it would break people now. And the tagline is man up. Is the implication that bacon will make you trans? What is going on here?
Hey, well, I think the implication is that you need to be a man to eat the sandwich. The only way to take it in.
Oh, like a woman physically can't handle
that.
Yeah. A woman's body would
right.
implode or melt.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank God we got away from this. Thank God the trans community, as they transition, don't embrace this kind of masculinity.
Oh my God. That would be funny if all the trans men started eating bacon to be like, yeah, we're really doing it. It's a gender affirming meat.
God damn it. So let's move on from the gender politics to the regular politics part of it. We did a lot of crowdsourced research for this episode, and much of it on Reddit. And we got one comment on the Red Scare subreddit that I think distilled the politics of the Epic Bacon Reddit guy quite nicely. Shout out user reset_router. So it's just a bullet list. Pro-marijuana legalization because he likes weed. Pro-LGBT because he dislikes Christianity. Anti-Christianity because he dislikes his parents. Anti-feminism because he's the proto-incel. Anti-Republican because of South Park, plus his parents likely being conservative. Anti-age of consent because he likes anime. And I think that's like a very succinct, good, comprehensive list of the actual politics. It's socially liberal to the point that they almost seem libertarian, but for the most part, probably like a lib Obama voter. But a lib Obama voter who still just has contempt for bleeding heart liberals.
Yeah, they're Ron Paul guys. Because he's epic.
So one of the founders of Reddit, these essentially are his politics, and they bleed into the site. This is a quote from the book, We Are the Nerds. At 18 months into its life, many of Huffman's own personal sensibilities had become Reddit. His good friend Can said it's plain to see that Huffman contains all the, quote, best and worst qualities of Reddit. He's intelligent. He's rational. He's socially very liberal, very libertarian, someone who believes in social justice. But his sense of humor is wry. He'd definitely make fun of an overly earnest post by a bleeding heart liberal or, quote, social justice warrior. career as they became known. So yeah, that's generally the politics of the Epic Bacon Reddit guy. When they actually do collective action, this is another story I lifted from that book, We Are the Nerds. In like 2008, Greenpeace had an anti-whaling program where they were going to chip some whales and use that to track their patterns to help and try and protect them from illegal whaling and poaching. A good thing that Greenpeace was doing. There was a contest to name one of the whales that was going to be chipped. And there were two very noble names, I think from Hawaiian and maybe Japanese, that were up there. But someone on Reddit suggested the name Mr. Splashy Pants. And Mr. Splashy Pants got hundreds of thousands of votes in a campaign organized by Reddit. And they named the whale Mr. Splashy Pants. And it's so deeply cringe and lame, but it worked. The Japanese government cracked down on illegal whaling after this campaign.
I do want to mention the other campaign, which is that sometimes Reddit does try and do good, and it just is horribly misguided. It's like during the Boston Bomber campaigns. I remember being on Reddit during the Boston Bomber thing and looking through the comments section, and the mood was euphoric. The mood was like, we have found a new way to do criminal justice. Like through a crowdfunded effort. We could do this on every case into the future. We're going to be able to figure out who it is because thousands of people can look over pictures and identify common threads.
Okay, I don't remember this. What is this? Like, I remember the Boston bombing. I remember the Boston bombing, obviously, but what did Reddit have to do with
it? This was the Reddit hive mind was going to render the FBI all but redundant, good sirs.
Yeah, so basically Reddit banded together to centralize as many pictures, because, you know, the Boston Marathon was like a public event, so there were thousands of pictures up there. And they put all the pictures in like a central location, and people would comb through them and try to identify who the Boston bomber was by looking at the pictures and being like, this guy has a backpack. This guy, you know, look at, now he leaves. And they were so sure they found the right guy.
Looking at their fucking timestamps and doing all their...
Yeah, and they're like, we got him.
Analysis.
Did they get it right?
No, they just picked a random Indian man. It was, of course, just someone who looked like they were from South Asia or the Middle East. And Reddit afterwards had to be like, I guess we're not supposed to do this, actually.
Imagine what happens when you get a bunch of white 20-something year straight guys together and harness the power of their minds. Oops, we did a collective racism. Surprise.
Oh, man.
The sum was exactly equal to the whole in this case. It's like, yeah, that's what I would guess would happen. But it was wild to watch it in real time. And you're so right that euphoria is exactly the word. Yeah. People were so stoked to be a part of this mission and to be a part of this, like the hive mind. The Reddit hive mind is such a real thing.
Yeah, and the story of Reddit, as it gradually becomes more and more legit with more and more VC money going in, is them just trying to get a handle on the worst aspects of this website. Like the fucking revenge porn and the Nazi subreddits and the soft core child pornography, because one of their founders was a true free speech absolutist who had some good ideas about intellectual property and some very, very, very bad ideas about child pornography, and Jesus. Just painted with this big, big brush. It all falls under the umbrella of this thing called free speech. And slowly but surely, Reddit has just been more and more and more moderated as they try and actually become profitable as a tech company.
Yeah, and some of them were good. Getting rid of our beating women, probably good. But in the Cumtown subreddit was funny, but it was also full of some incredibly maladjusted racist people. But the Chapo bot was one of the funniest things ever. Do you guys remember the Chapo bot?
No.
So if you posted in the Cumtown subreddit and the thing that you said sounded lefty at all, someone would write Chapo check. That's the thing about Cumtown fans, is they're, from what I understand, basement dwelling losers, but they build some incredibly sophisticated technological products. And one of them was a thing that would check your post history to see if you had ever posted in Chapo Trap House and immediately ban you from the sub. And then everybody would post the shotgun sound. We got him.
Okay, so yeah, moving on to our last thread that we're weaving together is atheism. Yes. We thought about doing an entire episode on the new atheist movement, but I think it's just going to be this little addendum to our Epic Bacon Reddit guy. Because in the 2000s, there were, I mean, I'd say like four main guys, but others. So Sam Harris, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and kind of Steven Pinker. There were more, but they wrote books about atheism and they were coined the new atheist movement. So what was new about these guys? What was new is that they thought it wasn't enough to just tolerate the intolerable irrationality of organized religions. It had to be challenged in the public sphere. And there would be videos of Richard Dawkins debating a creationist. And these guys were edgelord debate bros who got attention and had bestseller books. And it blew up on the internet like wildfire because the YouTube algorithm tracks length of engagement. So this is the original blank destroys blank with facts and logic type of post. Was not Ben Shapiro yelling at a crying undergrad, but it was these epic debate lord atheists methodically breaking down the irrationality of religion. And these guys were super popular on Reddit.
Part of it was just that in the 2000s, we talked about this on the Da Vinci Code episode, which you should listen to. It's very good. Kyle was our guest on that one. There was this revival of evangelical Christianity, and religion was a lot more important than it is now. I mean, we had an evangelical in the White House, and Christians were trying to censor society. They were trying to govern a bit more. I mean, it's ironic, I guess, now that we have like a repeal of Roe v. Wade, but
it was more out in the open. It was in the public sphere.
Yeah, not hidden away in the Supreme Court.
But for these atheists, they've since gone away, some of them because they died. But I think it's sort of like a Batman Joker situation. One of the reasons why the atheism movement was so powerful in the 2000s was that they had something to rebel against.
And I think these guys, quite cynically, they just wanted attention. And irreligious people are growing in America. It's up to about 30% of the population in this country that was famously religious longer than the rest of the quote-unquote developed West. Now, the trends are finally starting to catch up. These guys no longer got attention from debating religious people because no one fucking cared anymore. So instead, now their new thing is actually, you know who's the most irrational? Are the social justice warriors, are the woke, because they still desperately need that self-promoting attention that comes from the world of fucking posting. If we were to check in on four of these guys now, Sam Harris, who wrote The End of Faith, he's always been more anti-Muslim than any of the other ones. Wouldn't you know it, now he's a race-based IQ guy. Richard Dawkins is now a big anti-trans guy who cyberbullied a Muslim teenager who got profiled when he brought his clock to school. Steven Pinker is now a big anti-woke guy, participated in an unsafe spaces tour of campuses sponsored by some white ring group, and also he assisted in the legal defense of a certain Manhattan-based child sex trafficker whose name I will not say on the pod out of fear of censorship.
I think he's flown in some unsafe spaces as well.
Yeah. And Christopher Hitchens died. This is a guy who wrote a book called God Is Not Great or Why Religion Poisons Everything. And get this, he didn't capitalize the G in God, but he capitalized all the other letters.
Epic. Okay, okay, this is epic.
These guys were huge on Reddit back mm-hmm. in the day. The hive mind is a fickle thing, but when it decides it likes something, part of the identity of being a Redditor for a long time was, like any, I suppose, subcultures, you get on board with this is who we like. And these fucking guys, and you can see how it all ties into this idea of intellectual, I'm rational, I'm pedantry, it's facts and logic, and these, and like you said, Ben.
I think the people who got turned off just realized that what they were selling just was not right. Like, I'm sorry, the only thing holding America back is not the fucking evangelical Christians. They're part of the problem, for sure. They're not the only thing. It ignores class, it ignores material conditions. It's really just, if we all just didn't believe in nonsense, we'd be in a fucking utopia right now. And it just takes you to some weird places. America's getting more irreligious. It hasn't made anyone any more rational. Now it's just fucking QAnon or conspiracy theories or a fake consumerist spirituality.
Yeah, there's a science-based irrationality, right? Like when people were taking ivermectin and drinking hand sanitizer or whatever. You don't have to be religious to believe in the flat earth theory or something. In fact, it probably at least establishes some guardrails to your how irrational you are.
Yeah, it's like bowling with the bumper rail.
Just on a quick aside, in Germany, the organized religions get some kind of state funding, even though it's a super irreligious country. The Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church can take money out of your paycheck. But I was talking to a German. I was like, what the fuck? Like, couldn't you learn a thing or two from the French? What the hell is this? You're funding the churches? And the person I was talking to said, yeah, well, we looked at America and we realized that when you bring in market forces into spirituality, you get totally unaccountable mega churches. And we were like, why don't we just keep the normalist ones in there? So weirdly, in Germany, the way they structured it is that the state subsidy actually neutered the most subversive and provocative elements of their religious organizations.
By following the thread on those four guys Ben mentioned earlier, it's super ironic that these people who were originally very anti-religion just over time became right-wing reactionaries. And they, because first it was anti-religion, then it's like, hey, we need to return to traditional values, which then just put them in the tradcath camp. And it's like they took the long way back to being a reactionary.
Yeah, I mean, someone like Ben Shapiro, he was never team atheist, but he's always been team rationality. Or that fake university professor Dennis Prager has books out that are called The Rational Bible, where in fact the Bible is the most rational text that there is. Yeah, to tie it back to the Redditor, what it has to do with posting is that these videos would get posted, they would get watched, they would get upvotes, blah, 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 blah. If you are a poster Redditor, going up to a religious person and debating them is something you can't do. It's like a dick alienating thing to do, but you can post about it. You can, this is a real post that I saw, roll a joint made with a Bible paper and be like, I rolled a joint with the verse that was the contradiction that made me question religion and now I'm smoking it. Cool, man. Owned.
Facts and logic straight to the brain, each puff. Huh.
Okay, so if that's everything we have for religion, maybe we'll move on to the final section, which is the echoes in the culture. Everybody's favorite Remember Shuffle section, where we talk about how this lives on today. How did it change society? And I think that epic bacon culture has since become cringe. Mm-hmm. And I think, ironically, a lot of what makes epic bacon culture has since become soy, which is hilarious considering what bacon was supposed to represent originally. And soy just meaning this idea of loving epic Marvel movies and Joss Whedon stuff and calling people like random insults like Donald Trump Cheeto Voldemort or an epic fuckstick.
Listen here, shit waffle. Joss Whedon was one of the heroes of one of these guys, you know, nerdy guy who loves zombies and shit. He had a super epic post in 2012 about how you should vote for Romney because his policies are so bad he's gonna make the zombie apocalypse happen. Like, oh wow, this is epic.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
I think you can see the epic bacon type humor in something like John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. We spent all of our budget on puppets this week.
Yes. Isn't,
you know, it's very epic.
I have very mixed feelings about John Oliver because he always points out some big systemic problem like lead in the pipes or welfare reform. And he has a good crack team of researchers. He approaches the line, but he never says the C word of capitalism. He gets right up to the line and instead he's like, I bought $300,000 frog statues.
I think a lot of posting in general has just become epic in the sense that we've all become posters. Mm-hmm. Your mom is now a poster.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite restaurant is now a poster. And everyone's trying to be epic in these posts.
I love the cringiness of brand Twitter. I got this from an online John Oliver segment, but our memes cycle through a lot quicker now than they used to. You need to be terminally online to catch the meme of, you know, a particular week. And there was a week where people were posting the red flag emoji and then the things that are red flags. And all these brands tried to catch on. The official Cap'n Crunch Twitter posted red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag when they liked their cereal soggy. Red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. Which is so cringe. Back in the 2000s, brands were not doing this. Subway was not trying to do an epic meme. They were just finding a guy who wants to fuck children who dropped a lot of weight and using his story to sell sandwiches. A normal thing that a normal company would do.
I want to do a Subway Jared episode, yeah, by the way. So yeah. If you're a fan, petition Ben to do a Subway Jared episode.
I do not.
Subway actively fought the people who were trying to report him. A woman found out that he was a predator, and Subway was like, oh, this would be bad for us. So if you could just not tell anyone, that would be great.
Sounds like a rich vein for comedy, Giordano. Maybe my favorite corporate brand tweet, you know, we've all started posting and lots of people have been posting about mental health, which is a good thing, I think. You know, the mental health awareness is going to solve our mental health crises. Just the awareness. Just keep posting, everyone. In 2019, the official Sunny D account tweeted, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
It's like a brand cry for help.
it's funny because I'm thinking back now and revisiting the ill-fated 2010 meetup, and again thinking back to these poor guys for whom I was the death knell for their precious space on Reddit as it got normified. It's interesting to think about, to what extent did the normification of Reddit, like, what would have happened to these guys if it didn't become normie and now the top three website or whatever? Would they just be still hanging out talking about their ninja swords and Bill Gates and whatever it is that they
Bill
were
Murray, I think Bill Murray's their favorite Bill. He's Bill, pretty fucking
true.
Epic.
That's true. He's super epic. And in the same way that the true nerds, I don't know, I think are pissed about Marvel movies. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I think they are annoyed that they're now not true to the comics or...
Well, they're probably mad at how many women and people of color
I was gonna say, yeah, I'm just realizing halfway through that sentence what they're actually pissed off about.
Why is She-Hulk twerking? Like, I'm sorry, if you care about She-Hulk, you're a lost cause.
That's the other interesting thing about this time in Reddit, like 2010 through 2016, as it slowly slides into the main, is early on, for those first couple of years, just being there, just knowing about it and being there, you already were self-selected in.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a degree to which the norms and the conventions and the memes and humor and the tipping doth my cap and all that kind of shit, that was baked in because everyone who was there was into this and agreed with it.
Yet there was a joke, a gatekeeping joke, quote unquote joke, that they had called Eternal September, because in the early days of the internet, AOL would send free trials of the internet for your home PC, and the discs came out in September. So these guys were the OG fucking conquistadors of the internet. So whenever someone was new asked a question like, what the fuck are you talking about when you say what time does the narwhal bake in, they would say something like, oh, it's Eternal September, because that's when there would be an influx of internet noobs. And now we're all online.
And to Giordano's point, I do remember in like 2009 or 10, whenever it is that I showed up, a few years into Reddit, already people were fucking mad and complaining about, the website's going to shit and it's not what it used to be. And that has just been a recurring thing ever since then. Yeah, it's interesting to think, what is the impact of the normification on it? And how does it, these two things interact with each other? How did Reddit get worse? And how did also normie people trying to assimilate into this pre-established culture, like, what degree does that also poison your brain and make you more of a Redditor?
Well, yeah, I mean, so that's what we're talking about now, is this echoes in the culture thing. And I think that when you become a Redditor, you start to worry about posting more, right? So when you cook a turducken on Thanksgiving, you're becoming more of a Redditor. You're doing something epic. When you wear a bathrobe to take pictures in front of the Soprano house, that was you attempting to be epic.
Giordano, say the truth.
I mean, I've done that.
That is a thing that you've done.
Hey, I've been part of a turducken cook-off, so...
See? I'm just speaking generally. When you take your phone out to record Salt Bae doing knife tricks, that's epic. Every restaurant has epic items on the menu. And I'm about to go into a Dennis Leary-style rant here. This food won't even be particularly good to eat, but it's fucking epic. Like the Caesars out there, or a Bloody Mary if you're American, that have like a million things affixed to the top of the glass, like a lobster tail. It's epic. And it won't be good to eat, but it'll look great on Instagram, right? Or the fact that hamburgers cost $30 now and have like a million things on them. You order a hamburger, can I just get a burger-flavored burger over here? They gotta put a mac and cheese patty on the burger, and they're too big for your mouth to even take a bite out of it. They need scaffolding to stay together. There's an egg on it for some reason. They put an egg on a burger! And it runs as soon as you take a bite. And fast food is just as culpable of this, right? I mean, this is how we got the Baconator.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we got the Double Down. This food is meant to be posted. It's not meant to be eaten.
It's true. Whenever I see the reels of someone assembling, it's like a liter of Bloody Mary, like a full bottle of vodka, grotesque amounts of tomato, or if you're Canadian, clamato juice. And then they have these skewers with like an entire burger, chicken wings. They found a way to put a fucking cheesecake on a stick and skewer it into the thing. I think you might actually die of heartburn if you eat this. You might literally acid reflux your way to the grave if you consumed this.
And it's not convenient or good to eat. It's just epic. Mm-hmm. You are doing it because because it's epic. And that sensibility, I think, has become very strong over the last 10 years and is the biggest cultural product of the epic bacon guy, is we all do things to be epic. When Hillary Clinton tweets, "Delete your account," as a reply to Donald Trump, that is her being epic.
When Nancy Pelosi sarcastically clapped at Donald Trump, owned, corn-cobbed.
Yeah.
As our closing thing, before we wrap up the show, Giordano did something awesome last episode. He posted his own high school stand-up of him emulating Dane Cook. So I was thinking we could end with some embarrassing shame for all of us. What is the most epic bacon thing that you have done in your life? We've been kind of dancing around the issue here. We all participated a little bit in this culture. We weren't full-on Elon Musk-style guys, but we were all on Reddit in the Y2K era. What is everyone's most epic bacon thing that they've done? So Kyle and I once went out to a bar, and we dressed up in suits. It was me, Kyle, and a buddy of ours named Mike, who appeared on our very first episode of this pod. We walked to the bar, and we walked over an overpass, looking over at some parked freight trains. And someone said, "Oh, I've always wanted to jump, hardcore parkour style, onto one of these parked freight trains." It was maybe between a 6 to 10 foot drop, and we didn't. Then we go to the bar, we get drunk. I was hate crimed that night because someone called us the suit F-slurs, and we were in the bar. Mike was literally quoting Barney Stinson, saying things like "to industry" in our suits. And on our way back walking, we did jump onto the train.
Okay, this is epic.
Kyle, in a moment of some of the instantest karma, ripped his suit from jumping off of the train. And I think one of the three of us probably posted about it on Reddit. But that was the most epic bacon night I ever had, was Barney Stinsoning up the bar and jumping onto a train, doing parkour, dropping 6 feet down into a fucking industrial cut onto a train.
I just want to say that if we had gotten our asses kicked, that it would not have counted as a hate crime because we would have deserved it. And frankly, any reasonable country would not only allow that, but encourage such hazing.
Yeah, unfortunately, epic sirs are not a protected class.
Yeah, I just checked the human rights code. And,
Giordano, what's yours?
My roommate and I were very competitive, and we had a race to see who could drink a 5-gallon water cooler jug of water the fastest because they were on sale.
This kills the person.
Yeah, and so we raced, and we both finished it. We started at sunrise, and we ended by the time we went out that night. And yeah, like drinking 5 gallons of water, we went so delirious by the end of it that we noticed our pee was smelling like cotton candy. So we both decided to drink our own piss. Because I was like, there's nothing, my body isn't doing anything to the water anymore. Like, I drink it as water and it expel it as water. It's not able to do the transmutation into urine. And I was right. It didn't taste like, it tasted like water. So.
Yeah, your body was like, "Hey, there's too much water in me. I'm going to get rid of as much of it as I can." And you're like, right back down the hatch.
How did that night end, Giordano?
Well, I went out drinking that night, and I remember I woke up feeling fantastic. And I realized that I had found the cure for a hangover, and it was to drink 5 gallons of water before you go out.
It was walking right up to the edge of having a near-fatal hyponatremia and then getting drunk.
I remember I weighed myself, and I was 15 pounds heavier than I normally
was. Don't worry, it's just water weight.
Kyle, the most epic thing you've ever done?
Well, in 2010, my extremely long post about how neurons function made it to the best of Reddit subreddit. So I think that's got to take the cake from me.
Okay, that's epic.
I was thinking, didn't you post a Halloween costume to Reddit when you went as Draco Malfoy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also got a little bit of buzz for that. And thank you, Ben. Now I have to go through and scrub my entire history. Yeah. You fucking asshole.
Ben just doxing the gas.
His name is 505. Or wait, 510.
521. Okay, well, I think on that hilarious moment of collective shame, we're going to end the show.
I just want to give a shout out to the Remember Shuffle intern who helped us do some of the research on this episode. His Reddit username is WorldStar12342.
Yeah, we did a lot of research for this episode on Reddit, and this person very kindly offered very kindly offered to do some research for us to help out the pod. So huge shout out to him. him. And then also, what was the Our Atheism post you wanted to say?
Freddie DeBeer, who wrote an article about the new atheist movement.
Yeah, so as I always say, thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, give us 5 stars, helps out for the algorithm. Big thank you to Kyle, our guest, for coming on. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, we love having Kyle on.
Always happy to be here.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time. All right, ciao, ciao, everybody.
Peace.